for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
When it comes to great deals on tax prep, Jackson Hewitt isn't holding back, and neither is this commercial. Their offer is so big, it has to be said with Reverb, expert tax prep for $149 or less. It's a deal so spectacular, it needs a symphony, some explosions, and a clock ticking, because this offer,
$149 or less,
ends soon. One expert tax prep for $149 or less? Try Jackson Hewitt today and save. Whew. Limited time offer for new clients on federal returns. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge holding another hearing today on deportations. The Justice Department fighting a judge's ruling that temporarily blocked deportation flights last weekend to review President Trump's use of a rare wartime act.
The U.S. District Judge is going to determine whether or not the Trump administration had the right to use the Alien Enemies Act last weekend if his order blocking those deportations should be extended. The U.S. District Judge yesterday blasted the government for providing, quote, woefully insufficient information about the deportations.
ABC Selena Wang. Demonstrations taking place outside the Education Department today in Washington, D.C., as the Trump administration details its plans to dismantle the agency. Programs, including special needs and nutritional programs, would be moved to Health and Human Services, President Trump says. Congress has to approve any closure. In London, some flights resuming at Heathrow Airport after today's fire nearby. The cause unknown. This is ABC News. Denmark's government alerting transgender travelers before they travel to the U.S.
Denmark telling transgender people hoping to travel to the U.S. to contact the U.S. Embassy in Copenhagen before going. This amid concerns President Trump's gender policies could cause problems with their travel documents. The announcement comes after Trump issued an executive order that the U.S. will only recognize two sexes, male and female. Last week, Finland issued a similar warning to travelers.
ABC's Inez de la Quatara. More volatile weather in store for areas trying to recover from severe storms this past week.
Oklahoma, Nebraska, New Mexico. Red flag warnings are for gusts upwards of 40, 45 miles per hour. Really dry conditions. So burn bans, pay close attention. More wind Sunday. Wind speeds could gust 40 to 60 miles per hour in the northern plains and parts of the western Great Lakes. But on Sunday evening, damaging winds of Louisiana into southeastern Arkansas, Memphis.
ABC's Ginger Z, Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Okay. I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin State Assembly passes Republican-authored bills related to transgender issues. Two bills ban trans athletes at the high school and college level in Wisconsin. Another would require school districts to put policies in place stating that parents determine names and pronouns of students to be used by school staff. A fourth bill would ban gender-affirming care for those under 18. All four bills now head to the state Senate. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Governor Tony Evers should reconsider his opposition to the bills.
We have seen some brave Democrats across the country realize that their party has veered way too far to the left, and that if they want to win elections again and they want to be on the side of the public, they've got to change their stance.
Voss says the bills passed by the Assembly reflect the views of a majority of Wisconsinites. Candidates for state superintendent participate in a forum.
The event held Wednesday evening featured incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer, the only one-on-one matchup with the two. Kinzer, a Milwaukee education consultant, said Wisconsin's education system is failing kids, citing racial gaps and lack of reading proficiency. Underley said that's misleading and noted high graduation rates and Wisconsin schools' high national ranking. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin is losing out on millions of dollars of already allocated federal aid because of the recently passed budget extension.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that $250 million in funding designated for construction projects has been removed from the table. That was part of the continuing resolution passed last week by Republicans and signed by President Trump. The 3rd Congressional District, represented by Republican Derek Van Orden, is losing out on $25 million earmarked for Western Wisconsin. Van Orden voted for the continuing resolution, but says he's disappointed the cuts were made in his district. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with those winds shoving us to mild highs in the mid-50s. But as a front pushes through and winds switch to out of the north, it'll spark up some spotty showers this afternoon, which could mix with a few flurries this evening. Then tomorrow, tons of sunshine and cooler highs in the low 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 48.
Markets have been really active to start 2025, but we took a bit of a breather this week. So, what are they setting up for?
Live!
I'm catching my breath.
Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Karen Braun from Reuters. I'm sass-filled news cannoli Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, the pride of Water Street, from Zaner Ag Hedge, Tits Hybrid!
Woo! How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about with you?
I'm good. It's Friday. Although, I will say that last Friday, I was, cruising around a racetrack in Nevada.
What?
In a race car. So, I was better this time last week, I feel like. But that being said, you know, we're doing the show, and you know, I like doing the show. So, yeah, it's two pretty good Fridays back to back. I like it.
We're gonna have to talk about that. So you're taking hot laps in Nevada.
Oh, the
I'm imagining something out on maybe like some salt flats or something, and like there's a vulture just hoping that you wipe out, you know, kind of a thing.
Pretty close.
Circling above type of deal.
Very
coyote
close.
With
that
an
was,
anvil.
Yeah, the salt flats where they set the world land speed records, that was about 15 minutes away from where I was, yeah.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should talk more about that. Maybe later on in the show. I don't know.
I feel like that's a great idea. I'm with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quite the week here.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. Look, as I said in the intro, we've been unseasonably active, even going back through, you know, November, December holidays. But, you know, we've had such the news cycle, you know, atypical than our normal, you know, just regular grain stuff, right? I mean, you know, in that time frame, we watched South American weather and things like that, which we did, obviously, this year, too. But so much of this last few months has really been about policy and global economic concerns, you know, the big break in our stock market, and then, you know, recovery, but then kind of got weak here again on Friday. Look, there's just a lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of stuff that's coming from inside of normal agriculture or grain fundamentals, but then a lot of stuff that's coming in from outside of these markets too. So this was a week sort of a rare week in recent history anyways, where we kind of took a bit of a breath and we're kind of waiting to see what that next shoe is to drop. Are we going to get excited about weather and you know, maybe start to see a rally? Or are we going to be stifled by, you know, April 2nd reciprocal tariffs or you know, port fees going into place on any ships that have any involvement with China? You know, this is the indecision that we have in the market right now, and it was very apparent as we traded that this week.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of activity. And you're right, on the policy side, on, you know, just who's going to be doing what in our government has been, you know, up for grabs. Well, maybe not up for grabs, but it's been in question, uncertain, certainly. Getting some of those people settled in, just, we just need to kind of get settled in here, but I don't know if we're there yet at all, Ted.
Yeah, no, I really don't. I mean, and again, I mean, that's apparent in not just agricultural markets. You see really all markets are very flighty and indecisive because we are, well, it's unpredictable. And this administration is unpredictable. We knew that from the last time around. But it's really been fast and furious, you know. And so we're just kind of waiting to see what happens. You know, the last few times that tariffs were to go on to Canada and Mexico, they got deferred for a month the first time. The second time, they didn't get deferred for a month, but then there was a big exemption on anything that it was included in USMCA, which is, what, 80% of the trade that we do. Yeah. So one way or shape or form, it's gotten kicked back. But then there's this April 2nd deadline looming, which is much bigger and broader in scale than just Mexico and Canada. So, you know, are there going to be exemptions there or are there not? I mean, look, so many question marks. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you some things that happened in the markets today if you're interested.
Let's do
that. I have wheat futures higher in today's trade, though gains were limited by strength in the U.S. dollar. U.S. West, central and southwestern parts of hard red wheat production areas will remain dry for the next 10 days, according to World Weather Inc. Canadian farmers are bracing for a tough planting season as new Chinese tariffs on over $2.6 billion worth of Canadian ag and food products took effect yesterday. That's compounding tensions with looming U.S. trade actions. July HRW wheat futures today added 2.5 cents to 603.5. July soft red wheat gained a penny to 574.5. July spring wheat futures closed at 620.75. That's up 0.25 cents. Ted, on the week, I've got July hard red futures up, 7.75 cents. July soft red up just a 1.5 cents on the week.
Yeah, 1.5 cents, right. I mean, wow. That was a major tread water week for wheat. Yeah. We started higher, then backed off, and at the end of the week, it was pretty much nothing. And we're down here near the lows, right? I mean, I want to be bullish wheat, but a lot of that has to do with, you know, with strength or weakness in the U.S. dollar and all the things that we've been talking about.
Well, corn futures ended the week with a whimper as overhead resistance at the 20-day moving average halted hopes of an advance. The Brazilian finance minister signaled on Thursday that upcoming trade negotiations with the U.S. are likely to be prolonged, particularly focusing on sugar and ethanol. May corn futures today, 4.75 cents lower, 4.64 and a quarter. July corn off 4 cents, 4.71 and a half. December corn futures closed at 4.51. That's down 2 cents today and on the week. July corn down just a 0.5 cent.
Yeah. And I have a feeling we're going to talk about some of that Brazilian trade ideas with Karen. And yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, corn is just kind of biding its time. It looked for a second there that we were about to break out to the upside, and then we kind of took some of that back on Friday. Let's see what happens over the weekend. I mean, we got weather to look at for that second season corn crop, but who knows what's coming from, you know, headlines for policy.
Well, and I said the wrong thing here. I'm looking at my spreadsheet here. My reading glasses are dirty. Down a nickel on the July corn for the week. December cotton today was 70 points lower at 68.66. Soybean futures followed soybean oil to the downside in today's trade. RG oilseed workers lifted a strike and returned to works after their firm scheduled payments for overdue wages. As in corn, May soybean futures are caught below resistance at the 20-day moving average. May beans down 3.25 today, 10.09 and 3 quarters. July down 3.75 cents, 10.21 and a half. November beans ended the day at 10.07 and 3 quarters, down 2.5 today. And all told this week, the July contract down 8.5 cents, Ted.
Yeah, I got you on that down 8.5 on that July bean contract for the week. But I'm just going to correct you on corn real quick. I have us up 3 for the July corn for the week. So
interesting. Okay.
You're really kind of going different directions there. And again, listless, not sure what to do there.
Well, nearby live cattle futures gave a nod to the upside in early trade today, but were unable to hold on to gains through the close. After placing fresh highs, profit taking heading into the weekend was a weight on cattle futures. April fat cattle skidded $1.52 lower, 206.95. June live cattle declined 225 to 202.77.5, and April feeders down $3.47.5 to close at 284.47.5. And on the snout side, after recent pressure in the hog market, futures corrected to the upside today. April lean hogs down 57.5 to 86.12.5. June contract up $1.22.5 to 97.47.5. Ted Seifried.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it on the show, but that was a big key reversal in the feeder cattle on Friday. Now, we have a report, and we had some technical resistance, so we're going to have to see how that acts early next week, but that is a red flag, so we do need to pay attention now. All right, everybody, come on back to AgriTalk, where we'll be talking to Aaron Braun of Reuters.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Sometimes I just...
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifried from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory on this, well, it looks like a sunny Friday from where I sit. Hope it's sunny for you, too. But either way, we've made it to the weekend, everybody. Congratulations. And yeah, it was not a very decisive week in the markets, as Davis said in the last segment. We were kind of going opposite directions, but not by a lot. You know, corn slightly higher, beans slightly lower, wheat for the most part unchanged to slightly higher. And like I said, you know, I think there's just a lot going on with these markets. In particular, we've got our planted acreage report, or planting intentions report, I should say, coming up at the end of the month, 10 days from today. And, you know, that'll be a big deal. But, you know, anything can happen between now and then, coming from a policy standpoint. And 2 days after that, we have scheduled the reciprocal tariffs to go into place, which, man, I'm not exactly sure how much of that is figured into the market, or if things change with that between now and then. So a lot going on right now, head on a swivel, and you've got indecisive markets in the meantime. That all kind of makes sense to me. And the best that I think we can do for now is sort of talk about a lot of these things that we have going on. And to do that, we have who I consider probably the best in the industry, Karen Braun from Reuters. If you're not following on Twitter, you absolutely should be. What is it? K-Ann Braun. I should have that up, huh? But yeah, K-A-N-N-B-W-X. Seriously, you're not doing yourself a favor if you're not following her. So do that. And, well, I guess without further ado, Karen, how's your day going?
Not too bad. I mean, like you said, it's sort of sunny out there, but the snow has melted. Yesterday I woke up and, you know, it's like a winter wonderland. And today it's, you know, we're back in spring again. So it's just that time of year, I guess.
It is. If I remember correctly, I think right before the snow happened, we had a 70-degree day. So it's...
Right. Like the weather is like the markets at this time of year.
Yes. Yes. That
is very similar.
Very similar. Very similar. So, you know, it wasn't a really big week. And, you know, I think a lot of people would say, well, there's just not that much to talk about right now. But I don't think that's the case. I think really it's sort of the opposite. Maybe there's just so much going on right now that the markets are a little unsure of what to really focus on. But I think the one that we should start with, because it's what normally would be the focus this time of year, is the planting intentions report that we have coming out in a little over a week. And there's been a lot of private numbers that have been thrown out there. There's a lot of people have opinions on it. You know, I have my own. But the trade seems to very largely be expecting bigger corn acres and smaller bean acres. What are your expectations for that?
Yeah, you know, I think that you say that the market's not really focusing on this report, that it also includes our March 1st stocks coming up on March 31st. But I do think that they sort of are in a way, because I think that this time of year we do, or at least, you know, in the sessions leading up to, you know, this data, we do kind of get a little bit quieter, and, you know, we're sort of waiting for this, like you said, next shoe to drop. And I think it, when you see the kind of move that we had kind of to end February and to start March, you know, ahead of the, of the tariffs that then got delayed, you know, I think that, you know, the breather was due anyways, but then also we're kind of anticipating the next step here. And so yeah, with the acres, I mean, you know, you saw USDA last fall, they came in at 92 million for corn. And then in February, they came out with a 94. So I know that, you know, Reuters polls will be out next Tuesday, but I do know that some of the initial numbers that we've gotten, actually, I think all four of them that we have so far are above 94, and two of them are above 95. Okay. So that's kind of where we're leaning. And you know what? That's actually a really good, a good place to be, because I've looked at the historical data, as I always do. And anytime you have USDA kind of increasing by a significant degree its corn acreage peg from that October initial number into February, that March number tends to be even higher than what they said in February. So kind of seeing them lean up so hard like that does tend to produce a fairly large March number. Now, what happens from there? You know, that's anyone's guess. And of course, with all of the drama going on geopolitically, really anything is possible. Because if you remember back to 2020, when acreage intentions came out with 97 million corn acres, and that really shocked the market. You know, we only ended up with what it was. I think it was 90. It was like under 91, I believe. Yeah. It ended up being, and so, and that's because, you know, you had the pandemic unfold, you had prices collapse, a lot of uncertainty. So I think we have to keep that in mind, that in a year like this, when we have these other things going on kind of in the broader scale, you know, we can talk about what makes sense from, you know, a market standpoint, you know, with futures where they are, inputs where they are, and everything. But, you know, everything can be out the window really quickly. And 2020 was unfortunately a good example of that.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that intentions are one thing. But there's things that can dissuade intentions, right? Like you said, uncertainty, pandemic, that was a big one. But in this year, we have uncertainty over trade, and I'm not sure that'll be completely cleared up by the time we are actually, you know, in earnest getting things in the ground. Although I was just talking to somebody in Louisiana today that's just finished corn planting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Weather, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's going to have a big influence on it. Yeah, and then, you know, there's just a lot. The intentions are one thing, and it's great, and we'll see that, and the market will certainly trade that. But
yeah, and you know what? You know what's interesting though, Ted? I think, you know, we talk about this so much leading into this report, and we talk about, you know, the bean corn ratio, and we talk about input prices, and we talk about cost of production. But this number, this and it's a surveyed number that comes out on March 31st. This has really evaded us in the past as analysts, looking back just in the last 9 years. So in the last nine Marches, six of those corn acreage numbers have fallen outside of the trade range of estimates. And two more, this is the last 2 years, fell right on the edge of them. So in essence, we missed this number as analysts in nearly eight of the last 9 years. So if that tells you anything about just how much, you know, uncertainty this number presents, you know, that's why we kind of separate the season from, like, you know, pre-March 31st and then post, because it, you know, the game can completely change come April 1st.
Well, and so it's interesting to me that we have a bad, and when I say we, I mean, I'm part of those guesses. It's interesting to me that we have such a bad track record at making those guesses, considering that, you know, principal acreage should be a pretty, I mean, we know it continues to decline. You know, it's not like the principal acreage number itself really has big swings up or down. It's just been this steady decline. So shouldn't that be a limiting factor as far as, you know, how far off we are on these numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually in the last few years, I think that the market has actually not taken into account this shrinking principal acres. I mean, we're still, you know, kind of in this mindset of, you know, corn plus soybeans is generally 180 million acres, and maybe even more. And, you know, we just really haven't seen that too often. I mean, we've only saw it, I think, twice now, but barely. And so, you know, I think that some of this, you know, falling short of the expectation comes from that we just don't have as many acres available as we used to even 10 years ago. You know, it's being lost to development, to, you know, urban sprawl, solar panels. I mean, just really anything, you name it, right? And so, and I think that finally we are getting a little bit better about that. But when you're talking about a corn acreage, and I've heard some people say numbers, you know, 97 million plus for corn, you just have to remember that does severely limit all of your other acres. So if you get a 97 million corn, you know, you can't really get much over 80, 81 million on beans. I mean, you just have to think of it in that context. It's a universe, and the universe has been limiting in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing about this report, is that generally if you get a really bullish number, you're also, or a really bearish number in the case of, you know, what analysts are thinking for corn, you'd get a pretty darn bullish number for beans potentially. So, you know, I don't know. Now, the final question that I have, and I think we'll save this for next segment because we are running out of time for this one. But at some point, does the trade get too big of ideas for corn acres and too small of ideas for beans that, you know, something that we've been talking about for months, maybe it goes the other way? I don't know. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. We'll get that when we come back. We are talking to Karen Braun of Reuters, and we'll do so when we get back from the break. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures added 2.5 cents to 603.5. July SRW gained a penny to 574.5. May corn futures 4.75 cents lower today at 464.25. December corn futures closed at 451. That's down 2 cents today. May soybean futures down 3.25 cents to 1009.75. Novi beans ended the day at 10.07.75. That's down 2.5 cents on the day. December cotton today 70 points lower, 68.66. On your livestocks, April live cattle skidded 1.52.5 lower to 206.95. April feeder futures fell $3.47.5 to close at 284.47.5. April lean hog futures down 57.5 cents today at 86.12.5. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Do it.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with those winds shoving us to mild highs in the mid-50s. But as a front pushes through and winds switch to out of the north, it'll spark up some spotty showers this afternoon, which could mix with a few flurries this evening. Then tomorrow, tons of sunshine and cooler highs in the low 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 48.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on Friday. Confirmed, a little bit sunny outside. And yeah, we are conversating with Karen Braun of Reuters, and we were at the end of last segment talking about, you know, what to expect for this acreage intentions report that we have in a little over a week. And the question that I was posing at the end there is, you know, I feel like we've been talking about, you know, much bigger corn acres and smaller soybean acres for a few months now. And I seem to be noticing that, you know, the corn estimates are getting higher and higher. As Karen mentioned, you know, some people I've even seen some in the 97 million acre range. And bean acre numbers get lower and lower. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Are we to the point where, you know, maybe we're going a little bit too far with those? Is it a possibility that these numbers won't be quite as bearish for corn and bullish for beans? Or, you know, I don't know. Karen, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, time will tell. And if you want to think of a bullish way that you could see, you know, some huge corn number, getting the market hyped up for something too high would obviously be one of those ways.
Right.
But when you're looking at soybeans, actually, we haven't really been missing like the trade range in March very often. Last time was 2018. So actually the June soybean acres are more problematic for the trade than March for some reason. But I do think it's really interesting to point out that the last time that U.S. farmers intended to plant below 83 million acres was in 2016. And the last time that you planted something below 83 million acres organically was 10 years ago. And I say organically because in 2019, obviously, all the flooding prevented the acres. But the point being is that we could be looking at a 10-year organic low in soybean area. And I think that's so interesting because if you would have told somebody 10 years ago that this is where we're going to be 10 years down the road, they would not have believed you. I mean, we were, you know, heading to the moon with soybean acres. Chinese demand was heading to the moon, and we wouldn't be able to supply the world. It's a quite different story, you know, today. So, you know, these markets do change, and you just have to keep up with everything going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I do wonder if we are getting a little bit, or maybe we factored in the idea of, you know, 97 million acres, and maybe it's not that bad, but we'll see. And as I say that, I get a text from Paul in Northeast Iowa saying, you know, my two cents, weather permitting, he can see 97 million corn acres in the land of 230 bushel corn and 55 bushel beans. His agronomist is saying that multiple guys are planting zero beans. So, look, it's a very prevalent thought in the market, and I just wonder how much of that has been factored in. Now, we've thoroughly covered acreage, I think, for now. I don't think there's much else we can say until we actually see the numbers, so we shall move on. Corn prices, you know, I mean, look, we hit our highs in what, February? And then we really saw that sharp decline at the end of February. We've not gotten back to that. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, you know, that the fund sell-off that we've seen since late February has really been super extreme, and especially given how bullish they were. I mean, they were up, you know, 360,000 futures and options contracts. And that is, you know, among the all-time high weeks. And whenever you see funds that bullish corn, you typically don't see them, you know, turn bearish again for at least another 6 months. So what we've seen here in the last few weeks has really been historic. And I think that one thing that, you know, there's a couple nuggets here, you know, if you want to be bullish corn. I think that the one thing is a lot of the sell-off has been kind of those long positions coming out, kind of like a risk-off trade. You haven't seen a ton of new shorts coming in. Maybe the last couple weeks a little bit more, but it's really driven by this kind of risk-off idea. So, you know, you don't have a lot of new bears coming into the market, so to speak. The other thing is, like you said, you know, we made our high for new crop corn, you know, this year. You know, it's sitting in February right now. It was like 479, just under 480. And December corn has actually not made its yearly high in February since 1982. So that is, if my math's correct, 43 years ago.
Yeah.
So that that would be significant if that happened. And I have an even longer streak for you. So our February insurance price, $470 bushels per acre on corn. If we do not return to $470 mm-hmm. at some point before expiration, mm-hmm. it would be the first time since at least 1973 that that's happened. So the data that I see only goes back to 1973. So there is not a case really in the record where that has happened. And I know that that's not too far from where we're at right now. I mean, that doesn't, you know, imply some huge gains, but I think it would be definitely pretty significant if that happened. But I do think that it kind of goes along with the flavor of this year that we're talking about. Just so much uncertainty, and things do feel a little bit different here when we're dealing with all of these, you know, economic concerns, you know, potential trade barriers, problems with our key trading partners. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the takeaway from that is that, you know, seasonally or just historically, we should expect to best those numbers at some point during a growing season because we always have weather risk.
Right.
But if there was a year that we didn't do that, this could be that year.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess we can't take that for certain.
No.
But I you look, I think the likelihood that we do it is very high. I mean, based on the numbers you just said, but also, I don't know, my general feeling is that we will.
Yeah. And you know what? And, you know, speculators are not just building these or didn't just build these bullish bets for nothing, just for fun. You know, if you look at our global corn supply, you know, the USDA numbers, if you take out China from the global balance sheet, the stocks to use for 24-25 would actually be a 29-year low. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, stocks are pretty tight in Brazil right now. You know, U.S. stocks are definitely not as, you know, heavy as we thought they were going to be several months ago. So, you know, in the funds, they see that. They can see that. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you pull away all the drama from, you know, the tariff news and everything else, like that fundamental situation is still there. Now, how much does that actually drive us in the next few months versus kind of the other stuff? That's anybody's guess.
Yeah. Just take that a step further. I mean, you can start to say that maybe there's some concern building about that second season corn crop in Brazil too. I mean, we've seen them lower their estimates as well. So look, I mean, it could be even getting more bullish, but like you said, I mean, what is the focus of the markets? What are we focused on grain fundamentals or are we focused on these macro fundamentals?
Right.
Soybeans. You know, along with this acreage and tonnage report, we have our quarterly grain stocks. A lot of times that gets sort of swept under the rug because everybody wants to talk about acreage because everybody can come up with an acreage guess. It's much harder to come up with a quarterly grain stocks guess. Trust me, I know this. but do you see anything there? Like, is there any potential surprises that could come from that?
You know, I think that, you know, I'm going to talk about corn and beans here, you know, really quick because, you know, back in January when USDA cut those crops and especially for corn, you know, cut the 2024 crop estimates, I think a lot of people wondered if those cuts were too extreme and that we may either on March 1st or June 1st find some more of this corn or soybeans. Mm. And so I think that some people might be bracing for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at soybeans, actually, 7 of the last 8 March stock reports have been bearish. So basically bigger than the trade expected. 7 of the last 8, I think it was 2023 that was the outlier, if my memory serves correctly. But, you know, so that's kind of maybe a little bit of a warning. But look, when you look globally, you know, back in October, USDA had forecast that global soybean supplies, actually, if you look at stocks to use, was going to basically tie 2018-19's record. But we have come down in the global stocks by 13 million tons since then. Obviously, lower production, but bigger demand. And, you know, you bring prices down this much, you're going to generate demand. And so I think that, you know, now that that has settled a little bit more, you see that, you know, while we're not tight by any means, we are nowhere near the super, you know, overstuffed, you know, soybean stockpile, you know, narrative that we were last fall. And actually, to take this one step further, the global stocks to use that USDA currently has right now, 20.5%. Okay, that's for the world. Mm-hmm. That's actually exactly what they said for 2023-24, one year ago, this month.
But prices
today are 15% lower.
Right.
So that actually, if anything, gives you, you know, potentially some upside hope. However, you know, look at where prices went from last year. You know, and then of course Brazil can come in, you know, in September and start planting the biggest crop that they've ever planted, which they probably will do.
Yeah, and I think lack of China buying is factored into that, and concerns over global trade. And I mean, prices are where they are for a reason. But that is a very interesting nugget that you presented.
Yeah.
One quick thing. I was actually in the camp of thinking that the USDA lowered corn and bean yields too much at the end of last growing season, or on our quote unquote finer production number. But you know, looking at the spreads and how big of a carry we've had in corn, that's been very fluid lately, by the way. But I don't know if I get that feeling. Anywho, we'll see what happens when we get to that report again on the 31st. A lot can happen between now and then. And in the meantime, you've been a wonderful guest, as always. I really appreciate you coming on the show. You always present some very interesting facts that I'm not sure any of us have really thought of. So once again, thank you. I hope
thank you so much.
Enjoy the rest of your sunny Friday. And for everybody else, Davis and I are going to close the week out. I will give us the cattle on feed report numbers, and we'll just have some fun. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk.
Scammers off.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56-volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 4/2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know, just got the notification.
Great, smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it, safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh yeah, I know.
Keep your business in the know with the USPS Ground Advantage service. Visit usps.com/in-the-know.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your RV, RV wins.
What, are you going to take the RV to the lake or clean out your closet?
RV wins!
Putting the dishes away or taking the RV camping?
RV wins!
Cleaning the fridge or taking a trip to the beach?
RV wins!
You might want to clean the fridge real quick because, you know, mold.
We clean out the fridge, then take the RV out.
With Progressive, you can bundle your RV with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings in your RV. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states and situations.
We believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone, on your Friday afternoon. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Ted Seifried from Zahner Ag Hedge actually holds possession of the big green leafy microphone for this afternoon's show. Ted, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. Bro, it's the first full day of spring. Right? Mm-hmm. We hit it before dawn yesterday, so technically today's the first full day.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm about worn out. I'm almost unable to enjoy it right now. I feel like I should be a whole lot more enthusiastic about it, and I just lack the strength. Ted, how about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, look, I'm ready for 70-degree days. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This on-again-off-again thing. I mean, 'tis the season. I get it. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's very active markets aside from this week too, right? And so it's like we didn't get that normal sort of downtime either.
Well, and it's
that's okay.
It's been a very
keeps it interesting,
especially for guys like me. I'm in the news. I'm in the news every single day. Guys like you
are.
You know, you're working the markets. You're keeping an eye on all sorts of things. You know that the rest of us don't even occupy our brains with it.
Head on a swivel.
Where's a guy out after a little bit?
A little bit.
Having said that, let's soldier forward. Just a few more moments here. I've got the cattle on feed report numbers here. I'm just going to read them against you and see what bounces off. Okay, Ted, you ready?
Okay, let's go.
I've got on feed as of March 1, came in at 97.8% of year ago. Trade was expecting 98.2%, so came in just a little bit below, a slight miss there. Placements in February, 82.2% of year ago. That's down from an average estimate of 85.6, another miss.
Right.
Marketings in February, I have at 91.1% of year ago, another miss. Trade was expecting 91.8% marketings in February. Any thoughts on any of this here, Ted?
Yes, the cattle on feed numbers and the marketing numbers were pretty much within the range of guesses and not too far off. I don't think those are necessarily market movers, but that wasn't the one that we were all looking for. Yep. That was the placement number. And for that to come in even lower than expected, look, we were looking for 85.6% year over year. We were already looking for a sharply lower number. A lot of that due to sort of a very slow trickle of animals coming over the border from Mexico, but also due to weather. That's the big one, right? And that's the one that, you know, especially for feeders, that's a pretty bullish number.
Little perspective on that number here. The February feedlot placements down 17.8% from last year. Trade was expecting a 14.2% drop.
Right.
So by percentage, that's a decent miss.
It's a decent miss, right. So, you know, we talked about it in the first segment, you know, the big reversal lower, the key reversal that she had in feeder cattle. I don't know if that is going to get negated right away next week or not. So this is a time where we get to find out how much has been factored into these markets, because that was a miss from analyst expectations. But is it a miss from the actual market expectations, or what had been factored in? And that will be the question. But, you know, I would think that at least to start the day on Monday, we should see a bit of recovery. That's kind of what my initial thought was there. So I don't know. Cattle market is obviously a very interesting thing. And, you know, we've had supply side issues that have been driving this bull market for really quite some time. Yeah. So again, you know, what point is sort of enough? And I don't know if we're there yet. You know, the way it traded today, it was kind of suggesting maybe it was, but then now we have these numbers to digest, and that shall be interesting.
I have a question for you, and maybe it means nothing, but I feel like you're the right guy to ask this. As I was putting together the news in the wheat market, the corn market, and in the soybean market, all three of those, the 20-day moving average as near-term resistance came up. And I wonder, you know, the 200-day moving average is super sexy. You know, a move around that can really, But what about these shorter-term moving averages, Ted? Do they tell us anything? If we've got, you know, contracts that are just stuck at the short-term moving averages and can't bust through, does that tell us anything that we need to know?
Yeah. When you consider moving averages, you know? Yeah. So when you consider moving averages, what you have to consider is that they are sort of reflections of a trend, right? So the bigger the moving average is, like a 200-day moving average, the more concrete of sort of evidence that we've broken the previous trend, right? When you get close to the short-term moving averages, these are short-term trend indicators. And in the case of soybeans, which have been absolutely sideways pretty much from the beginning of March, then your moving averages are going to come in and they're going to get very close to where we're trading. And in the case of the 10-day moving average, we've hit it every day for what, the last eight sessions, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 sessions, pretty much every day except for the first trading day of the month of March.
Yeah.
The 20-day moving average has been diving down to join the party, so to speak. And so that, for soybeans at least, is a reflection of consolidation. And for corn, you can kind of say the same thing too, because we had the big drop at the end of February. We had a bit of a recovery to start the month of March. And then really ever since then, we've been kind of sideways. And it's taken a little bit longer for the 20-day moving average to catch up or to come down to these levels. But it's here now. And so you've had markets that have just in the last week or a little bit longer than that, in the case of soybeans, have been consolidating. And when moving averages come in like that, it is suggesting that we are getting ready for a bigger move one direction or that or the other. We're just not sure which.
Yeah. Interesting. Let's see. Do we want to do the weather? Talk to me about race cars in Nevada really quick. Yep. Are you burning clean, burning ethanol out there? Or what?
What's the story? I should have asked that. I don't know. I was kind of nervous. I was driving a Corvette Z06 on the east portion of the Spring Mountain Racetrack for Corvette High Performance Driving Academy. 2 days, of course, and then a third day of individual instruction. And I walked away with one of the fastest laps that they've had set by students at 1 minute 14 seconds and 14.8 seconds. I'm a race car driver.
Like, what is that in MPH? Do they give it to you in miles per hour?
Well, I mean, it's an average because it's a road track, so it's not a big oval like NASCAR. There are turns. But I hit 183 on the front straight.
Yeah. Well, Ted, thank you for being here with us and for sharing your time with us. Chip will be back Monday morning. He's got Senator Grassley, Machinery Pete, Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. Thanks so much for your time, brother, on AgriShot.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
To...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth say Elon Musk was not at the Pentagon to receive a meeting on U.S. war plans in China. Hegseth says Musk was there to discuss military cuts.
There was no war.